morning, church. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship at Faith Community United Methodist Church for this fourth Sunday of Advent. I just want to remind you that the offering envelopes for 2021 are in the narthex. If you haven't already picked up your envelopes, make sure that you do that following the service today so that you're ready and have those with you. This week, of course, is Christmas. Are you ready? Well, it's coming whether you're ready or not. We, of course, are getting ready for three services here at the church. We will have our Christmas Eve service on Wednesday at 6:30 here in the sanctuary, and then on Christmas Eve on Thursday, we will have a service at 6:30 in the evening and also 9 o'clock in the evening, hoping that with the three services, we'll be able to spread people out and still keep our social distance, still keep our masks on, but be able to gather for Christmas Eve worship. So I hope you can join us for one of those services. And we continue to prepare for that celebration as we worship today on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And I invite you to stand as you're able as we join together in worship.
The call to worship is printed in your bulletin. Now is the time of watching and waiting.
The time of pregnant expectation of new life.
Now is the season of hope unfolding.
The dark winter season when hope is waiting to be born.
Let us come before God with receptive and willing spirits.
May our souls magnify God's name, and may our spirits rejoice in God our Savior.
Rejoice. God comes to bring the birthday of life and hope. Amen. Our opening hymn is O Come All Ye Faithful. We're going to be singing verses 1, 3, and 5, and you can find it in your hymnal, page number 234.
Come, let us adore him, Christ. Sam, please stay standing and join in our opening prayer, also printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, your servant Mary discovered new life growing within her and knew it to be your promised presence. In tender reverence for the holy mystery of your incarnation, may we be as a womb for your blessed presence, ready to receive and nourish your word in our lives. Open to the stirrings of your spirit within us. May we faithfully bear your love in the world, that by your grace, Christ may be born in us. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our lists are long, even in this strange mess where we live these days. And we want to do it right. We want to be safe, but we want to be able to enjoy the season. We've got work to do to put right what has gone wrong, to heal what is broken, to mend relationships, and to prepare for Christmas.
The prophet Isaiah reminded us that there is work to be done. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When God comes in, then healing is to be found. But we need to make the way. We need to open the door into our lives.
So we light these candles as a sign of our faith that the God we worship is not far from us, and that by faith, God will come and dwell with us. We light these candles in faith that God is in our midst.
I neglected to mention earlier that one of our worship opportunities is our Blue Christmas service. Blue Christmas is a worship service that our Stephen ministers do every year around Christmas time, and it's especially designed for those who are struggling at Christmas, those who are grieving perhaps the loss of a loved one, or for whom the holidays bring up memories that cause some grief. And the Blue Christmas service is designed especially for them. We were not able to do it in person this year because of the pandemic, but we do have a recorded service, and because of that, a lot more people are able to access the service than normally are. So I want to let you know that our Blue Christmas service is online. There are instructions in the bulletin, in the announcements in the bulletin, about how to access that service. There is a worship service, and then there's also an additional video that has some extra harp music for you to listen to as you have some meditation time, as you pray. And we do come now to a time of prayer in this service. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer, I invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let us sing together.
Yet in thy dark street shineth
Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. That is our prayer to you as we gather in worship this morning, that you would descend to us now and enter in. For we know we don't have to wait until Christmas morning to receive the Christ child, that you come to us each and every day in all moments, in all situations. And Lord, we need your presence. We need the hope and the peace that you bring to us. For we go through so many times of trial. We struggle so often, and we know, Lord, that we can't do it on our own. We confess to you those times that we have tried and gotten it wrong. We confess to you those times when we haven't even tried, and we've just fallen into sin. But Lord, through it all, you are there for us to forgive us and restore us. So we pray for that forgiveness now. We pray for you to make us your faithful people. We pray for one another, for our loved ones who are struggling, that you would be with them to provide all of their needs. For those who are in harm's way, for first responders and doctors and nurses, we pray for your protection. We pray for your mercy to work on them and through them. We pray for our leaders, our elected officials, that you would give them hearts of wisdom and a desire for service to others. We pray for this society, our country, and our world, that all people might come to know that peace and that love that come to us in the birth of that holy child, your Son, Jesus the Christ, who comes Emmanuel, God with us. It is in his holy name that we offer our prayers and our worship. As we pray now the words that he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know you come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we didn't know. Didn't know it was you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you was. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Long time ago, you Jesus boy, the world treat you mean, Lord, treat me mean too, but thoughts of things is down here, we don't know who you is. You told us how we is a trying. Master, you done showed us how, even when you was dying. Just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you, but please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know 'twas you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little
you will please rise as you're able for the reading of our gospel lesson, taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and it is printed in your bulletin. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This is perhaps the biggest uh-oh of them all. From uh-oh to aha, a journey of Christmas discovery, that's the title of this Advent and Christmas series. We're looking at several of the key players in the biblical story of Christ's birth, considering what probably seemed to them like uh-oh moments, and how God transformed those uh-ohs into aha, realizations of how God's magnificent plan of salvation was working in and through them. We saw how Zechariah went from, "Uh-oh, my wife and I are getting old and we have no child," to, "Aha, our son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." From, "Uh-oh, I've been struck mute," to, "Aha, my mouth has been opened to praise the Lord and proclaim how he has fulfilled all that he had foretold. We saw how Joseph went from, "Uh-oh, my fiance, who I have not yet been with, is pregnant. She must have been unfaithful." To, "Aha, it is God's Holy Spirit that has brought about this miraculous child who will be the Son of God, the Savior of all humankind, and I get the honor of raising him." We saw how the shepherds went from, "Uh-oh, nobody cares about us, we're so despised and lowly," to, "Aha, God cares about us so much that he sent his son into the world for our salvation and sent an angel to proclaim the good news to us before anyone else." This uh-oh, though, this one is a doozy. I'm an unmarried virgin, engaged to be married, and I've just been told that I'm going to conceive a son. Uh-oh. This was a doozy, not only because it was hard to understand and impossible to explain, it also put Mary in very real and present danger. We have to remember how young and how vulnerable Mary was here. Girls were usually engaged and married off by the age of 13 or 14, so she was probably 13 or 14 years old in this story. And she had no autonomy, no power of her own. From the moment that her father had arranged for her to be married to Joseph, she essentially became Joseph's property. Not that I'm suggesting Mary was unhappy or oppressed by this arrangement. Joseph was a righteous and a faithful man. He would certainly do right by her. But the fact that what would become of her as an unmarried pregnant teenager, that was completely out of her hands. Joseph was the one who would decide if he would take her as his wife anyway, as he ultimately ended up doing, if he would send her away to fend for herself, as he intended to do when first finding out about the pregnancy, or if he would have her killed, as he was legally authorized to do if he determined that she had been unfaithful to him. Mary had no way of knowing how he would respond, no way of knowing what would become of her. She had no choice in the matter, other than to tell the angel, no. No, I'm not willing to put myself in that position. I'm not willing to go through with this crazy plan you're suggesting. It's just too dangerous. I won't do it. Mary could have chosen to say that. Here's what Mary said instead. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. What made it possible for Mary to say such a thing as that in such an uncertain and dangerous situation? Faith. That's what made it possible. Mary had faith. Mary's faith triumphed over anything that might have caused her to balk at this outrageous proposition of the angel. Mary's faith washed away her fear that would have been natural for anyone in her position, but which doesn't seem to even be an issue for Mary. Mary's faith won out over any doubt about whether or not God could deliver on this promise, doubt about how Joseph would respond, doubt about what the neighbors would think, doubt about her own future, how she would ever share this wild story, or who would ever believe her. Mary's faith answered all of those fears and doubts. Now let's be clear here about what kind of faith Mary had, who it was she had faith in. There's this idea out there that faith itself is what really matters most, and it doesn't matter much what or who that faith is in. Just believe, as the saying goes. Believe in what? Doesn't matter, just believe. Some people will tell you that you have to have faith, but when you ask them faith in what, they say it doesn't matter as long as your faith is strong and genuine. Let me tell you, that's not the faith that the Bible proclaims. Faith in just anything, faith for the sake of faith, that's not what saves us. That's not what we need. Mary's faith was not in herself. Her faith was not in Joseph. She didn't have faith in some vague, undefined principle of goodness or the magical spirit of the age. There was a very definite object of Mary's faith. Mary had faith in the Lord. Mary had faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mary had faith in the God who delivered the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt. Mary had faith in the Lord who spoke through the prophets. Mary had faith in the God of the Scriptures. Mary had faith in the God who would be the Father of her Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord who would bring salvation to the world in fulfillment of all that he had promised and foretold. That is the faith that empowered Mary to be faithful to this call upon her life. That is the faith that answered the question, how? How can this be, is what Mary asked the angel. How can this be, since I am a virgin? The answer was, with God. The Holy Spirit will cause her to conceive, for nothing is impossible with God. That's really the only answer to all of the questions that Mary had. How will this conception take place? The Holy Spirit of God. How will Joseph be convinced not to kill her or send her away? An angel of the Lord. How will others be convinced of the truth of this story? God will send shepherds from the fields nearby and wise men from afar. And God will send John the Baptist to prepare the way. And God will bring fishermen to follow Jesus and learn from him and believe in him and spread the good news to all the world. How will this all take place? By God. God's got it all lined up. Mary had faith. Not just general faith, not just any faith. Faith in the God of redemption who was stepping into the world through her. That is what allowed her to say, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. You know, when you consider all that she was up against, it's remarkable to me that there doesn't seem to be any fear or hesitancy at all in Mary once the proclamation has been made to her. Her faith in God took all of that fear and all of that doubt and all of that hesitancy away. Where does that kind of faith come from? Well, to answer that, we need to go back to the beginning of this story, because there is a part of this story where some of that uh-oh feeling does appear to be present with Mary. It's in Mary's initial response to the angel's greeting. I mentioned last week that whenever an angel of the Lord shows up to someone in the Bible, that angel's first words are usually, "Fear not." That's not quite the case here. The angel does say, "Fear not," to Mary, but that's not the first thing he says. The first thing the angel says is this: "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And Luke tells us, but she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of a greeting this might be. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Uh-oh, what does he mean by calling me favored one? Uh-oh, what does he mean, the Lord is with you? Who am I for such a greeting as this? She was much perplexed by the angel's words to her. Here's where Mary's story connects with our own, because just as with Mary, God calls each one of us, all who have been saved by his grace, all who ever will be saved by his grace, he calls all of us favored one. And just like Mary, we might wonder, uh-oh, who am I to be called that by God? Who indeed? We know who Mary is. She's the mother of God, the one who gave birth to the Word become flesh. Mary was young and pure and faithful. And in one simple word, Mary was blessed. "Blessed are you among women," Elizabeth said to her. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed," Mary said of herself. But it took some time for her to get there. I don't mean it took some time for her to be blessed. I mean it took some time for her to realize that she was blessed, to realize that she was special, to realize that she was the favored one of God. Her initial thought was, "Who am I that God should call me favored one? Who am I that God should come into the world through me?" So if you're saying that to yourself, you're in good company. And yet, the truth remains. Just as the angel said those words to Mary all those years ago, the angel says to you right now, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you." If you don't get that, perhaps your confusion comes from thinking that you could never be put in the same category as Mary. Perhaps your faith is not as strong as hers. Perhaps you view her as pure and yourself as spoiled. Perhaps you view her as perfect, as saintly, almost more than human, and yourself as, well, if not less than human, certainly imperfect, certainly not saintly. Not someone to be favored by God, not like Mary was favored by God. Oh, but you are. Oh, but if you could only understand how favored you truly are in God's sight. If you could only know how deeply, how purely, how fully, and without any qualifications, God loves you. Rejoice. Favored one, the Lord is with you. You see, the whole point of the gospel is to show that in Jesus Christ, God has washed you clean. In Jesus Christ, all of your stains have been washed away. All of your mistakes have been forgiven. All of your shortcomings have been made up for. All of your sins have been atoned for. In Jesus Christ, you are made righteous. Mary was not favored by God because she was superhuman or better than anyone else. Mary was favored by God simply because of God's love. That is grace. God loved Mary because that's who God is. God is love. God did not favor Mary because she had stronger faith than anyone else. Mary had incredibly strong faith because she became convinced of God's love for her. If God had favored her because of the strength of her faith, that would be works righteousness, something that she had done, something about her that earned God's favor. That's not how the gospel works. The gospel works by grace alone. It wasn't after Mary said, "Let it be with me according to your word," that God declared her favored. That came at the end of the angel's visit. It was at the beginning of the angel's visit, the very first thing he said to Mary, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." It was only after she had embraced that truth. Only because she claimed that faith that she had the faith to submit herself to God's plan for her. It was only by the grace of God that Mary had that kind of faith. And by the grace of God, that same faith can be ours as well. When Mary was confused about this, while Mary was pondering what sort of greeting this could possibly be, that's when the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid to accept God's evaluation of how precious, how beautiful, how wonderful and special you truly are." And again, I'm not just talking about Mary, I'm talking about you too. You are so precious, so beautiful, so wonderful and special that God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ for you. And the next thing, the even more amazing thing than that, is this. You are so precious, so beautiful, so wonderful and special and favored by God, that God is coming into this world through you. Through you, Christ is born. Okay, you're not going to literally become impregnated by the Holy Spirit and give birth to a baby named Jesus. But Christ is still today being brought into this world through you. Whenever we give generously and selflessly, denying ourselves for the sake of others and for the sake of the gospel, we are bringing Jesus into this world. Whenever we love extravagantly, not only those who love us, but even those who hate us, even those who set themselves against us, when we respond in love, we are manifesting Jesus in this world. Whenever we lift up the lowly, whenever we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, work toward justice for the oppressed, we are making Jesus real to this world. The angel told Mary that she was going to conceive and give birth to a son. He would be named Jesus, and he would be the Son of the Most High. What a magnificent honor it was to Mary, for God to use her for his purposes in such a special way. We probably won't be used by God in quite such a conspicuous and spectacular fashion as that. Perhaps we won't receive the same kind of acclaim as Mary does. Perhaps all future generations from this day forward will not know our names and call us blessed. But here's the thing. God does have a plan to use you for his purposes, every bit as much as he did for Mary. Because, after all, you are the favored one, and the Lord is with you. And so, along with that angelic greeting this morning, telling you that you are highly favored by God, that the Lord is with you, the angel is also saying to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to claim that blessing. God has a plan to use you, yes, you, in a very special way, a way that he's not going to work in anyone else, to accomplish things that he can't accomplish through anyone else, to bring his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, to make Jesus real to the people around you, to present Jesus Christ to your parents, to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbors, to your grandchildren, to your co-workers, to your enemies, to the strangers around you. Christ is coming to them through you. Can you believe it? How can this be? That was Mary's question to the angel. How can this be? You might ask the same thing, but we've already heard the answer. How can this be? By God. How can this be? With God, nothing is impossible. All of this takes place only by the grace of God working through faith. Faith that is a gift of God's love. Faith that allows miracles to take place. Faith that says, aha, I am favored by God. Faith that says, aha, God is working through me. Faith that says, aha, Christ is being born into the world through me. Faith that says, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. According to your word, Lord, may it be so. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able now for our closing hymn, which is number 249 in the hymnal. There's a song in the air. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
There's a song in the air. Star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry, and the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. There's a tumult of joy for the wonderful birth, for the virgin's sweet boy is the Lord of the earth. By the star reigns its fire while the beautiful sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles again. Rejoice in the light, and we echo the song that comes down through the night from the heavenly throng. I will shout to the lovely evangel they bring, and we greet in his cradle our Savior.
As you go from this place, may you go rejoicing, for you are the favored one of God, and the Lord is with you. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.